Hello, Daniel.
What an introduction that is.
What a man you are. I have wanted to do this interview longer than you can ever imagine.
Oh, well, it's so nice to get the opportunity.
Well, let me say by first saying, the first thing I heard about you was a long time ago. You were at the Liverpool Empire, and for the first time in my life, women were sleeping out for two nights, queuing to get tickets. And I went, who is...
A respectable woman at that.
And I said, who is this man? Anyway, they got the tickets. I sneaked in the back because I knew the manager, so they let me come in and watch, and I was bowled over.
Oh,
and
thank you.
You're a magical man.
I enjoy it, and I've enjoyed the shows for so many years, and the Empire certainly, and all the other places that we played, the Philharmonic, and going back to New Brighton. We played in New Brighton and Southport, but I remember the Floral Hall was one of the first places I played in New Brighton. We used to enjoy that too. And I suppose the connection with Liverpool is very strong between Ireland and Liverpool.
Yeah.
And there's always that feeling of being at home there.
Daniel, why do you think... I know you're incredible value for money because you always give out wonderful product and you've got this magical gift of spending time with your fans. No fan is too much trouble. Why do you think you've been a world success?
Well, you know, I can't really answer the question fully. I've enjoyed it immensely. I suppose I love the singing. I love doing the shows. And I never, ever felt, I'm very fortunate, I never felt that I worked, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not many people, probably you feel a bit the same because you're doing something that you love.
Yeah.
And maybe you can appreciate a little of what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
But just the opportunity to get out there and sing and... You know, I've got to know so many of the people who have come to the shows over the years. And every night I go out on the stage, wherever it might be, if we've been there before, there will be familiar faces there this time.
Is there one place you like working, or is it just everywhere?
Everywhere, really.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, you know, no matter where... you go to do a show, the atmosphere is just terrific.
Mm.
I mean, there's places that the audiences are lively, I suppose, maybe a bit more lively than others, but that doesn't mean that they enjoy themselves anymore. It's just a different way of expressing themselves, you know. But we've had wonderful shows, you know, in so many places.
You've got a new 3-disc package coming out with a DVD. It's coming out in November. It's once again, you give so much. You're not sparing about the tracks. You do so many songs.
What?
Have you any idea how many songs you've actually recorded?
Oh, I don't know. Well, we've done almost about 40 albums, so I suppose you're way up on 500 songs, maybe.
How do you remember the words?
Oh, well, I don't remember them all now. I used to remember them all. This CD and DVD, it's both in the one pack. It's a live concert we recorded last year in Detroit, Michigan, for public television in America.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was made into the DVD and the double CD for our part of the world here. And I think there's over 50 titles on it, so it's quite incredible to have that. Somebody said to me, how many songs are on it? I says, there's that many on it, they're falling off the side. But we enjoy doing the show, and I think the live recording gives you that kind of atmosphere you don't always get from a studio album. Studio albums are fantastic. And it's the way to grow, I suppose. But every so often, I think, if you can do a live recording, it gives just a whole different atmosphere.
I couldn't agree with you more, because some of my favourite albums are live. I love Bassey live, Barbara Streisand live. I love live.
Because
you're part of it. You feel part of it.
Do you know, I remember... I mean, I'm a great fan of Loretta Lynn, and I had records of her. But when I got a live recording, what I was most delighted about is that I heard her speak.
Mm.
And, you know, I'd heard her sing. I heard her sing and loved her voice. But I felt when I heard her speaking on, it was a tape at the time, that I felt I got a bit more. Because I could hear, you know, I don't know why I felt that way. Mm. So I suppose maybe when I do the live recordings myself, I feel you're getting a wee bit of that too, or you're giving a wee bit of that, you know.
Yeah. And people love you as a person. It's not just the music. It's the whole ambience. It's the whole you. Your personality comes over loud and clear, and you've just got a warmth that people love. How important is Stand Beside Me, that song?
Well, that was one of the first I recorded it in my Donegal show, and it's like a signature tune. I do it in the show, usually at the beginning and end, but almost always at the end of the show I kind of finish off by saying, you know, till we see you again, you know, you'll stand beside me, and we tear into it, and everybody knows it, and they sing it, and the title, I suppose, of this CD and was all planned prior to my decision of to take a break next year. I'm taking a long holiday from February until August 16. My wife, Magella, was diagnosed with breast cancer in July last year. Now she's fine and everything has gone terrifically. Thanks be to God. But through her treatment, then her father died suddenly. And I just said to her one day, I says, you know, I think I'm going to take a break. No, we have no reason to think that, you know, but we live a long life, please God. But I suppose I just felt, you know, we travel so much, or I travel so much, and it's always doing this, that, and the other, that it would be nice just to have a bit of time to relax and enjoy things. So that's what this is about. And we're very fortunate that we're in a position to do that. There's people going through what Magella went through and a lot worse, and have to continue to work. They don't have the, you know, the luck and, I suppose, the opportunity to be able to take time off, you know, from a financial point of view and every other way. So we're very fortunate to be able to do that. So the CD and DVD, the whole package, Stand Beside Me, is... it's kind of, you know, apt, I suppose, for
Have a listen to this while I'm having a break. One of those. Have a listen to this while I'm having a break. That's what I get from the CD. You know, you're taking some time off, so there we are. I'm leaving you with a live concert, which I think is a lovely idea. Well, you're going to miss it, though, aren't you?
It wasn't planned that way, but this is how it turned out. So it's kind of, I think it's kind of apt to be as it is, you know.
You're going to miss it, though, aren't you, in a way?
Well, I will miss it, but, you know, I don't have to be singing in any particular place. I could get up in a pub somewhere and get the same feeling. Mm. So I'm sure somebody will let me sing in a pub somewhere.
Daniel, you talk about your wife, and she's one of life's characters and a very, very nice lady as well, which is a lovely thing, and I'm delighted to know her. But the most tragic, tragic thing happened, losing Mum.
Well, I suppose, you know, we were lucky that we had her so long. She died in May. She would have celebrated her 95th birthday in July. And, you know, she lived a great long life. Of course, we miss her tremendously. But we're comforted by the fact that she didn't linger long. She didn't suffer too much. And she was right with us to the very end, mentally. So we have a lot to be grateful for. As I said, that doesn't mean we don't miss her. We miss her tremendously. But we have to be respectful that we were allowed to enjoy her for many, many years.
Tell me, where did you find the strength to say goodbye to her by singing?
Well, she said to me a number of years ago, I wrote a song called Beyond the Rainbow's End, and we were sitting at home one night after I'd written it. She said, you'll sing that at my funeral. And I said, how could I sing that at your funeral? She would be too upset, I said, to be singing, I says, when you're at your funeral. And then when the funeral was over, when the mass was over and we were at the graveyard, just after they had, you know, put the coffin down and all the prayers were over, I just felt the strength to sing it. And I just And I don't know where that strength came from, but I did, and never wavered. So I suppose, in a way, I did give her her wish that I would sing it.
Where do you think the music industry is going? Because you've been around a long time and seen some huge, well, 30 years, you've seen some huge changes.
Well, there are surely huge changes, but, you know, every change that happens is, I suppose, the right change. I have been very fortunate through the years to enjoy so many things. But there are young singers now that are carrying on, in Ireland, carrying on the tradition of the music that's been there for years. So, you know, I think the music business will evolve, but it'll never die. The music that we all love will always be there.
You've seen your beloved country change, come through some terrible, terrible times. It's in a good place right now, isn't it?
Well, it's beginning, I suppose, as the saying goes. It's a bit like just before the springtime. We're beginning to see some new life. Now, it'll be a while before it's anything like it was, but I think things are getting a little better, you know, from a financial point of view. But if I go back further, I suppose the greatest thing for us is that there's peace. You know, I think that's the greatest thing. And I was at the Ryder Cup in Scotland, and I was standing, we're following Rory McIlroy on one of the games, and I saw Martin McGuinness and Peter Robinson, who were so far divided a number of years ago that you could never imagine that they would walk together at a golf tournament. Yeah. And I stood and I looked and I said, thank God.
I'm talking to Daniel O'Donnell. He's got the most amazing, what a great Christmas present for somebody, and also have to give to somebody who's a fan, that knowing Daniel's taking some time off, it's three discs, it's 50 tracks, two CDs, DVD, 2.5 hour concert. So you're living every moment of being with this man. I've got to ask, do you ever, ever lose your temper?
Ah, well, now, there would be times that I would have a bit of a flutter. But,
is that it,
often,
a flutter? That's
not
it.
Not too often. But as the saying goes, when it goes, it goes.
Now, tell us about the afternoon teas in Ireland.
Ah, sure. We haven't had one of them for a long time now, Pete. The last one we had was 2000. It just got too big, really, to handle.
Tell us how it worked, because it was wild.
Well, just people came, and it was an open day where I was there at home, and people came from all over the world to be there and just experience it, and it was lovely. I used to meet everybody, but then after a number of years, I only met a fraction of the people that came, so we decided it had run its course.
But a very clever idea. You are, apart from being talented and apart from being nice, you're your own PR machine, which is quite amazing, isn't it?
Well, I suppose so.
Do you tolerate the business now? No,
I enjoy everything about it. I enjoy every single thing. There's nothing about the music business that I dislike, really. I enjoy it. I enjoy the people. I enjoy meeting the audience. And I just have been very lucky through the years. And please God, when we get back, there'll be many more years.
Do you ever get nervous on stage?
Always.
Oh,
always,
right.
Before I go on. But once I'm on, the nerves kind of leave you.
Was it a big step the first time you did an arena after theatres? Because I know you love that warmth of all those people around you.
But you know, Pete, I'm glad that I've experienced all that. My preference is theatres. Mm-hmm. I love the theatres. I love the smaller theatres I love. But I enjoy doing the arena shows too. I suppose the rock and roll tour was a great thrill to do, because we put on this big show and we did it in all the arenas, and it was a great atmosphere and a great production. But I think if I were to choose personally, I would rather the smaller theatres.
Do you find that different countries treat you differently, as in as the performance goes?
Well, I suppose different countries. We were in Sri Lanka earlier this year, and they knew every word of every song, and even songs that I wouldn't generally sing. It was I got sort of from the radio station what songs were popular. So it was amazing the kind of songs that they had, you know, made popular there.
Now, there are, you mentioned Sri Lanka. Would you have ever, in your wildest dreams, imagined that you would break Sri Lanka?
Well, no. I mean, and I was amazed, I suppose. We had about 4,000 people came in Sri Lanka, and that was our first time there. But amazing, and a very young audience in Sri Lanka. Mm. There were young and old, but more young people than anything. So it was a great experience.
When you started in this industry, can you remember the first song you ever sang?
The first song I sang was My Little Cabin Home on the Hill.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That was a long time ago.
A long time ago. Yeah.
Have you ever had a hard audience?
Ach, you would an odd time, you know, but not many. Not many. No, not many.
The audience love you very much and actually get quite upset at the end, don't they? They just don't want it to finish.
Well, I think myself and Ken Dodder, but I think Ken is a bit longer than me. I think he's the only one that outdoes me.
He's up to 5 1/4 hours now.
Oh, dear, he's a great man.
He's amazing. And if you go and see him now, it's 1.5 for the bus.
Ah, Lord bless.
When did you start this business of meeting people all the time?
Oh, right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning.
Yeah, right from the word go.
Yeah.
And that just got more people. But I enjoy that. It's not, I don't have to do it. I just enjoy it. I love meeting the people. And, you know, it means that you have a connection.
Daniel, I'm so glad I've finally done the interview with you.
Well, thank you very much. And I hope we do it again. We'll not leave it.
I hope not.
Doing another one.
Have a lovely break. Spend some time
much.
With your lovely lady.
I will, and I want to say hello to Rini and Al. I know there's a lot of people in Liverpool I could say hello to, but I just want to say hello to Rini and Al and wish Al all the best next week. She's having surgery.
Right.
And hope she's fit and well and back to full health soon.
And just before you go, can I say that we both have friends, mutual friends, Judy, and sadly the loss of
That's
John
right.
Hailwood. One of life's characters, and you
I
sang
know,
at his funeral.
I know.
It was amazing that you sang. I was taken back by that.
Well, it was an honour.
But he was one of life's characters,
I
wasn't
know,
he?
He certainly was, and taken all too soon.
Very sadly. Daniel O'Donnell,
the
new album is called Stand Beside Me. It's 30 years in the business, 50 tracks, 2 CDs and a DVD. Have the best break ever
Thank
and come
you,
back
Megan.
To us all.
All right, Pete. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.